welcome everyone as Fantastic Geek Talks, The Acolyte, coming soon. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody. The Acolyte podcast by Fantastic Geek comes to you with our very first episode now.
We podcast all Star Wars, all Star Trek, all Marvel, and boy, Pete, excited to be diving into this latest entry momentarily.
Yes. Coming up, though, of course, and we always like to use this segment, the pre-roll, as we call it in these parts, to talk about what we're doing soon. Star Trek Discovery's fifth and final season heads your way April 4th. I've been fortunate enough to watch the first four episodes, and we will be bringing you our podcast preview within the next little bit before that April 4th two-episode premiere.
And in a weird bit of synergy, Star Trek Discovery's fifth and final season, unfortunately final, that's going to wrap up the week before The Acolyte starts, so we get to go from fresh Star Trek to fresh Star Wars. What we have not been podcasting lately is Marvel, but with no new Marvel content lately. We've been filling that gap with the DC Film Fest, and that's wrapping up, Pete, ever so soon as we talk about The Flash.
Yes, I've just watched it. Matt, have you gotten to it yet?
Not yet.
Okay, and we will be talking about that this upcoming weekend, the last Marvel offering we were able to talk about, of course, Echo on Disney Plus and Hulu. But let's move into the meat and potato here, Matt. Let's talk A Star's War.
Indeed. There had been buzz that, you know, would The Acolyte be the next series out? Would it be Skeleton Crew? Certainly yesterday, March 18th, 2024, the poster came out, teaser poster, the promise of more soon, the heavy assumption that it would be a trailer today, March 19th. That's what we got. And just a gangbusters trailer that, honestly, Pete, I've only watched it a couple of times, so when I say it feels like it's longer than the minute and a half or so that it is, it's not because I've watched it a ton of times since it came out earlier today. It just feels substantial in terms of introducing us to this new portion of the live-action Star Wars timeline.
Considering this is the first formal footage we've seen, there was, of course, a trailer shown at last April's Star Wars Celebration that I've watched on tiny, you know, cell phone camera. This is what you want to launch this. I will, of course, I'm often right, Matt, so I will own up here where I'm wrong. I've been saying that it would be Skeleton Crew that would be first. I will take this on the chin, and I deserve that.
I remember hearing vague buzz that, like, Skeleton Crew is somehow better for the holiday season. Not to say, Pete, that's going to be a Star Wars holiday special, but I know that The Acolyte did not finish filming before Skeleton Crew, but here The Acolyte is nonetheless. One day, maybe we'll find out why some of these shows launch when they do versus others and so forth. To me, it's just a logical thing. The first one done is the first one ready to go when you have a Star Wars slot available on Disney Plus. But this just looks, here's the benefit of this. It's all new timeline, new characters, 100 years before the Phantom Menace. So it's not like at the end of the first episode, someone's going to be like, and that's why they call me Darth Vader or whatever, you know, like it's not the prequel leading into the obvious, you know, and thus that's when, you know, Padawan Yoda came around. Like it's there's not an obvious handoff from this to the familiar stuff. Yes, it's the Star Wars universe. Yes, it's the Galactic Republic. Yes, 100 years after this will be the Sith and Palpatine and all of that, but we're playing in a new sandbox that's not too far from the old sandbox, but it's new nonetheless.
Far enough away from everything that they can be untethered from very much. I gotta imagine, right? 100 years before the Phantom Menace, there'll be Yoda shout outs, if not a Yoda appearance, right? Like, you kind of have to do it. All right. However, continue to be strong rumors that along with the 25th anniversary re-release of The Phantom Menace on big screens beginning May 3rd, that there will be footage of the Acolyte attached. So they want to get you and they want to keep you. It remains to be seen whether that will be the case. But to set this live action story, the earliest in their timeline to this point, okay, we know that James Mangold's biblical epic of how the Force and the Jedi first came to be is super deep into pre-production. And that will be forthcoming. I don't think 100 years pre-Phantom Menace is going to top thousands of years pre-Phantom Menace. So they're carving out little areas here. But you watch this footage and both the familiar, right? The Jedi Temple, the Padawans, everything like that. But to see a Jedi in Carrie Ann Moss's character confronted by an assailant with a knife. Okay. The titular, the Acolyte, named May, played by our series star here, Amandla Stenberg, she of the Hunger Games, Rue, all those moons ago.
Yeah. And on the notion of May being the Acolyte, May is the Acolyte, clearly. She's up to no good, or she's working, she's kneeling at someone else's altar or something like that. I know Leslie Headland had a really, really great interview with the Hollywood Reporter today, I believe. At least that's when the article was released. And she was a little coy, showrunner, show creator Leslie Headland was. Who could the Acolyte be? It will become more clear as things unfold. All right, easy now. Look, I'm excited that this got pitched as, what was it, Kill Bill meets Frozen.
Yes.
I'm excited that there's going to be Rashomon elements. Do I think this show is going to fundamentally rewrite the rules of visual drama for all time? No, I don't think it's going to quite do that. Fine, it's going to be a mystery that will unfold as time goes on. Pete, I bet the mystery is going to be who is it who's pulling May's strings, and maybe she's going to go from villain to anti-hero, maybe redeemed towards the end of an arc or something like that. I'm not trying to sound down on it anyway, just I think there's a little bit of like the mists of how this will be, you know, this is going to be, you know, Citizen Kane meets the light bulb. It's going to be a great Star Wars show. This is going to be a great Star Wars show.
So to set it in this High Republic era, which has been ushered in by, you know, a big book campaign, and now to do their first live action piece from that, and to set up the really compelling aspect of, ooh, somebody's killing Jedi. We've had the light, and now the darkness is coming. We've been on the other end of it, right? That we've got darkness rising and light to meet it in the sequel trilogy, all things evening out. I mean, for me, the greatest shot in this trailer is near the beach, where you've got the robed figure, and then in the tidal pool you've got the reflection of that. That's the image I'm taking away, other than the really striking teaser poster of the lightsaber hilt and the bloody trail leading to it. I think they're going to go super deep into the lore. I think we're going to see, you know, Sith developing red lightsabers and, you know, the so-called bleeding of the Kyber crystals. The lore has stated that every Kyber crystal that a Jedi has made a lightsaber from is of another color, right, except red, and that the corruption of that So every red lightsaber was once another color, and the symbolism of the bloody red, much like they used with the Emperor's Royal Guards and later, you know, the Praetorian Guards and everything like that. But this really scratches an itch. It's been a while since we had Ahsoka to talk about. I'm ready, man. And these moving images and the people involved and even the information that's come after the trailer, what with this Hollywood Reporter interview, and also, as I sent Matt not long before we sat down here, the official Star Wars databank has updated with a number of new entries. So yeah, if you're watching the trailer with some subtitles, you get, you know, a name of who's speaking or whatever. We have full-blown character names and entries on the Star Wars website now.
This notion of the High Republic, portion of the timeline, the High Republic as a new area in Star Wars lore, I commend Star Wars for the launch that they have had, which is to say, in our other podcasts, we've spent some time talking about whether it's Marvel, to a, maybe not so much to a certain degree Star Wars, a little bit Star Wars, Marvel, Star Trek, how between COVID and between the strikes, Marvel in particular, the notion of this kind of, all right, we have this vision for the movie that leads to the TV show that leads to the movie, and really having that sense of, oh man, they've spun off who? I can't wait. That's going to happen in 4 months. That's going to run 10 episodes. That's going to lead to the next movie, and that kind of exciting ping pong action there. The fact that Star Wars, you know, started with the High Republic as a publishing, intentionally, by the way, you know, started with it, the novel, starting to get to know these characters to a certain degree, not necessarily the characters from this show, but to know that new portion of the world, and now is able to, as intended, hand it off to a live action series. Conversely, if you haven't been keeping up with the publishing stuff, the books, the comics, and so forth, you can be excited for The Acolyte and go see the publishing things, or get done with the first season of The Acolyte and say, I would like to learn more about, you know, Vernestra Rowe. Oh, she's in books. Let me go get that. So there's that from a corporate end, the synergy, but I think from a fan end, you just get more of what you're enjoying.
It is no coincidence they've taken one of the breakout characters from that media series and put her in live action for the first time. I knew we were trying to track down who is playing her, Matt. We know, of course, IMDb can be super unreliable regarding such things. You thought you might have recognized the performer?
Pete, I believe that is Rebecca Henderson playing Vernestra Rowe. And this is a really interesting and compelling cast here. I know that we heard the character of Sol speaking first in the trailer. Lee Jung-jae, of course, it's almost kind of within the world of the trailer, that was kind of the prelude. And then we actually get to, you know, the trailer, if you will, or kind of the main narrative of the trailer. Pride of place given there to Carrie Ann Moss, playing Master and Dara. Just great to see Carrie Moss back on screens. And, you know, doing some of that fighting from which she was so well known back in 1999.
We loved her. We saw her up close, Matt, a couple years ago up at the Paley Center up in New York City to see her talk about Jessica Jones, podcasting that. And now to get her in the Star Wars family, right? I guess she just needs to wind up in Star Trek next.
Also familiar going back a ways, at least for me, although probably further familiar this summer as well. Daphne Keene playing the Jedi Padawan, Jekki. She, of course, the X-23 from Logan a ways back, maybe in another Marvel movie this summer. We'll see if that comes to pass. I know she's had quite a career between childhood and now as well. But I mean, again, this is just a stacked cast here. Manny Jacinto, known from The Good Place and other things. It's just then Pete, most familiar of all, although behind the mask yet again, Jonas Suntamo as the Wookiee this time, much as he's played the Wookiee in other Star Wars properties.
Yes, Jedi Master Kel Naka, super excited to see a Wookiee Jedi in live action for the first time. We've had one in The Bad Batch and Clone Wars, same Wookiee that escaped Order 66. And not just Force-powered individuals, there's also a smuggler here, Khmer. And then, of course, we have the character who's referred to as Annie Seya in the trailer that is actually Mother Annie Seya. Say it with the respect it demands, Matt. Okay. Of course, played by Jodie Turner Smith.
Again, a great cast, and I can't help but be inspired by creator and showrunner Leslie Headland's enthusiasm to hear Pete that she first started to think about what a camera does and what a director does after seeing Rear Window. That's when I was like, okay, you have film and TV cred there, let alone her past, TV work and all of that. I just feel like, for as much as we enjoy the most familiar, we've talked on our Obi-Wan Kenobi podcast where maybe some areas of that came up short, but we're just every episode was like, we're back with familiar people. We know how it ends. They're not going to kill either of these two twins. And I think this Darth Vader guy is going to survive to the end and so forth. Like familiar. It's just so exciting to be like, I don't know who any of these people are. And I can't wait to get to know them on June 4th with not one, but two of the eight episodes.
Right, like who breaks out? And, with the tone of the trailer, to have the younglings here, told by Lee Jung-jae's Jedi Master Sol, hey, you can't trust your eyes, so close them and tell me what you see. And the first one sees life, and the next balance. And, of course, there's, the Jeremy of the Jedi Temple who sees fire.
Yeah, I think the foreshadowing is understood there. Understood that there's a problem on the way, but it's going to be fascinating to see this High Republic era. I think that Pete, we've gotten so used to Phantom Menace being. Did you say 25 years old, Pete? Has time really gone by that fast?
1999.
So I think on the one hand, so many of us are now kind of used to those three films, and certainly the George has ruined Star Wars has been replaced with. There's really compelling stuff from those three films, so it kind of feels normal. But let's not forget that is the end. Those are the waning days of the Republic and the beginning of the Empire. Et cetera, et cetera. To dial things back even more, where there's just, I don't know, just to live in that normalcy of which we see the end in The Phantom Menace, that's a compelling spot too. Perhaps not as compelling as these great characters, but compelling nonetheless.
And to have Stenberg and Jung-jae's characters intertwined, gotta be somebody from her past, right? Was this a former master of hers, and she's gone off to discover, is light the only way? How's that gonna work? We've had the lore for so long, and to think about there was a time where it was just Jedi, right? These protectors of the old Republic. Let's remember too that the Phantom Menace, it was the first time any of them had encountered a Sith Lord, what with Darth Maul and then the machinations of Palpatine behind the scenes. So what is that like 100 years earlier. And again, you know, you keep the familiar, and we're all hedging those bets on who pops up, you know, that can possibly, or what names get checked, et cetera, et cetera. But like you said, to get a new box of familiar yet different characters, you know, just the idea that there's going to be this bunch of Jedi that go on this journey, this investigation. And it seems very clear from the tone, ain't all of them coming back.
And I think that's a story benefit too. You know, we get to fall in love with some of these characters in the 8 episodes. And, you know, and again, none of them is like, yeah, my name is young Yoda or whatever. Like, you know, and again, with all respect to like the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, there was so much that wasn't going to happen in that show because we knew the destiny of so many of the characters. Or even if you, let's fast forward to the Mandalorian portion of the timeline, I don't think they're killing off the Mandalorian anytime soon, right? Like that sort of thing. We're not even sure if the death shown at the end of season 3 of a baddie, spoiler alert, you know, how permanent that is, to really be in a spot here where, you know, I don't know that we need, pick a name here, I don't know that Yord Fandar makes it out of these 8 episodes, because I don't know Yord Fandar one bit. That brings with it, you know, that brings with it great dramatic tension as well.
It does. And, you know, with this new cast of characters, only one that we've really met before that's, you know, visible, the idea of the growth there and what they can turn into. And then, you know, who's to say other points in the timeline, they don't show up in a galaxy far, far away where, you know, we have 900-year-old beings, et cetera, et cetera. So this really marks the beginning of a new age as far as Star Wars on a screen, until we go back even further and things can, you know, be even more distant, but at the same time, somehow familiar to what's come before.
For listeners new and old alike, I have no doubt, Pete, that in advance of the June 4th release of this series, we'll be talking about this show again multiple times on the Acolyte podcast by Fantastic Geek Feed, on the Pop Culture podcast by Fantastic Geek Feed. Certainly that, you know, the week before those 2 episodes come out, we'll be giving one more big review before we dive on in. And then, of course, Pete, looking forward to in-depth coverage every week for across the 8 episodes. Again, that first week is going to be 2 episodes. So, and I'm sure we'll say this plenty of times before now and the first week in June, but the first 2 released, we'll podcast them as a duo there. But can't wait for this 8 episode run here. Can't wait for weekly podcasts, digging in deep, hearing what people have to say as well, as we get to know the world of the Acolyte.
So let us know, what are you looking forward to? What do you see that you like? What do you want to see more of?
And Pete, I have to mention that this and every episode that we podcast is made possible by those who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. Big thanks to everybody who keeps us listener supported there.
Yes, could not do it without you.
Pete, let's keep the conversation going as we count down to the Acolyte now, what, 6 weeks away? Oh, it's exciting. How can people be in touch with you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter, on Threads, on Blue Sky, at Peter, PieterKetelaar, 12,600 followers, can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter, looking back lost, do be in touch with the podcast, comment on fantasticgeek.com, check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, and Threads, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek, all one word with the P and the H, like it today.
On the Pop Culture Podcast feed, we are back this weekend to talk The Flash, to wrap up our DC Film Fest. picking up the baton of Star Trek Discovery after that. And then before too long, we'll be talking about The Acolyte again. With that, Pete, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Talk to you soon.